And I pray, Lord, this morning that as we get into your word together, that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to hear, Lord, what you would say to us. Help us, Lord, to then apply what you give us, Lord, in our lives and to share with those around us. Father, your Holy Spirit is the one who is our teacher. He alone can impart that truth, Lord, to us. So we invite him to do his perfect work. Might you be glorified, Lord, as we study together. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 28. 1 Chronicles 28. Here in this last week or so, we've been watching, along with the rest of the world, the transition of the monarchy there in England. As their longest reigning monarch, Queen Elizabeth, passed on into eternity, and the mantle has now been passed along to her son, Prince Charles. This is now King Charles. And the people were swearing allegiance to them, along with all the leadership, and there was much pomp and splendor. We find that same thing happening here in this section of Scripture, for the time has come for the nation to move on from the reign of David. David has been a faithful man, a godly king, a worshiper of Jehovah. And he is now going to pass on, if you will, the mantle of authority to his son Solomon. And we read in verse 1 of chapter 28, David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands and captains over the hundreds and stewards over all the substance in possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men, and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David, the king, stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. As for me, I had it in my heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build and house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and has shed blood." So David had a passionate desire to honor the Lord, as we know from earlier in this in the Old Testament, to build a house for his God. And as he says here, in the midst of that, God breaks in and says, "No, you're not going to do that." So we see God's direction in spite of man's desire. And perhaps you can relate to that too. There perhaps are things that have happened or are happening even now where you have a desire to do something and you believe that God is saying no. There's nothing wrong with no. Because God can see beyond the here and now to the hereafter, around the corner, if you will, in time. The book of Proverbs says a man's heart devises his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And I am so thankful for that truth, that we can make our plans as we pray, as we look, as we make decisions, and sometimes God redirects. Paul found that to be so in the book of Acts. As he was on his travels, he was coming from the east, from Jerusalem. He wanted to go north and he wanted to go south. And the Lord said, "No, both times. You're not going to Bithynia. You're not going to Asia. I have something else for you to do." And then he has a dream. And there's someone over in Macedonia saying, "Come over and help us." And so God directed him to go in a very different direction than what he had planned. And God will do that in our lives as well. God intervenes to accomplish his purposes in our lives. And sometimes that can be a challenge, as we all know. In verse 4, we read, "Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all of Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, He has chosen Solomon, my son, to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. So as we read those verses, it reminds us that God chooses who he uses. Here we see that God chose Solomon over all the other sons of David. Earlier, God chose David over all the other sons of Jesse. David was the youngest. Matter of fact, they had to call him from the pasture where he was out shepherding sheep before Samuel could anoint the next king. So we don't always understand what the Lord is doing and who he is choosing. Sometimes we look at that and we go, wow, I wouldn't have chose that one. But God knows. He knows who is going to fulfill his purposes. But we sometimes ask ourselves the question, why would God use him or why would God use her? He goes on, and he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. So I love the fact that as you hear the words of David, Jehovah is speaking of a father-son relationship. I will establish, the Lord will say. You know, we have that relationship this morning. If we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, we have that father-son, father-daughter relationship with him, and he wants to establish us in our ministries, in our lives. But it's important for us, as David would say here, to walk in obedience. To walk in obedience to his guidance, to his direction, to his word. That's why he gave us his word. It is that which directs us, corrects us, instructs us, comforts us, encourages us. All the things that the word of God does. And we need to stay connected to it intimately. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And you, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord has chosen you to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. You hear the heart of a godly parent for his son. He says, I want you, Solomon, to know the God of your father. And I love that. I love that heart of David. But as I was reading that, I have to ask myself the question, do I want my son, my daughter, following my God? Do you want your son, your daughter, to follow the God that you're currently serving? Because the chances are very good that they will. And we have to choose which God we're going to serve, the God of this world or the God of heaven. It's going to make a difference in our families. He says to Solomon, I want you to have, Solomon, a willing heart and a loyal mind, a willing heart. Sometimes we find ourselves unwilling to respond, unwilling to yield. But David knew the cost of that in his own life. We need to be that way. We need to have a willing heart. We need to have a loyal mind, a mind of fidelity. And we know all the different things that will call out to us for our attention. The things of the world, the things on the internet, the things in relationships around us that will call for our heart and call for our mind. But David would say to Solomon, honor God and you will possess the good land. You see, we are on a journey just like Israel was on a journey into the promised land. We are moving into the promised land. It's called the Christian life, the Christian experience. And we have to choose how we're going to experience that journey. If we honor God, we're going to possess all that he has for us. It's called the fruit of obedience. If we walk in obedience with him, he is going to bless. Is it always easy? No. The scripture says that David encouraged his son to be strong and do it. Be strong and do it. Sometimes we don't feel very strong. Sometimes we don't want to do it. But it's in those times then that we have to cry out to the God of heaven, help me. Just like Peter did as he was sinking in the Sea of Galilee. Lord, save me. And he is faithful to do that. Then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasuries thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat or the holy of holies and the pattern of all that he had by the spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and of all the chambers round about of the treasuries of the house of God and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. Also for the courses of the priests and the Levites and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, for all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord. He gave of gold by weight for things of gold, for all the instruments of all manner of service. Silver also for all instruments of silver by weight, for all instruments of every kind of service. Even the weight for the candlesticks of gold and for their lamps of gold by weight, for every candlestick and for the lamps thereof, and for the candlesticks of silver by weight, both for the candlestick also for the lamps thereof, according to the use of every candlestick. And by weight he gave gold for the tables of showbread and for every table, and likewise silver for the tables of silver, also pure gold for the flesh hooks and the bowls and the cups, and for the golden basins he gave gold by weight for every basin. And likewise, silver by weight, and for every basin of silver, and for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight, and gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. So David not only worked in his life to bring together all of the materials that would be needed for the construction of the temple and all the service ware and such, but he was also given the diagrams, the plans for the temple. God imparted those to him, and now David is passing those along to Solomon with the details for the priest's service and the established leadership and all of that. And as you read that, you realize that God made sure that Solomon would have everything that he needed to accomplish the task, the great task that was set before him in construction of the temple. The amazing amount of wealth that was amassed in the gold and silver and all of those things. But as we look at that, it's a reminder to us that our God is the God of heaven and earth. He is the owner of the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he is going to serve himself through us as we realize that he's going to provide us everything, as Peter would say, that pertains to life and godliness. He's going to give us the things that we need to accomplish the tasks that he has ordained for us to do. And you have those things written in the eternal counsels of God from before the foundation of the world. Ephesians tells us that he has before ordained that we should walk in those works. Trust him. You can trust him this morning, no matter what's going on in your life. No matter what's going on in my life, we can learn to trust him. In verse 19, all this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon, in his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. There it is. Fear not, nor be dismayed. So it would appear that Solomon was fearful about this daunting task. He was a young, inexperienced man as far as the kingship is concerned. And David is encouraging his heart. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and the Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. In other words, Solomon, you're not alone. There are times, guys, there are times when we can feel very alone, but you're not alone ever. Number one, Jesus is always with you. but also the Lord will surround us with others that will be faithful to come alongside of us to minister not only to us, but with us. And that's what David wanted Solomon to understand. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man for every manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. So God provided revelation to David, but he's going to do the same to Solomon. He passed on both the reins of authority, but perhaps as important, he passed on the pattern, the vision to Solomon. That's what we need to do, guys. We need to pass on the vision. The next generation is coming up. They're rapidly beginning to take hold of the reins because they're going to be the ones that carry on the church. They're going to be the ones that continue to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're not going to be here forever. We're going to be like David. We're going to pass off the scene of history unless the Lord comes back, which would be okay with me. But the fact is that we just need to be faithful. When you read the Old Testament accounts, what you see is that the people of Israel many times failed to pass on the truth to their children. And as a result, they wandered off into sin, idolatry, and destruction. And we need to learn from those things. Matter of fact, the scripture tells us that these things were written for our learning, for our admonition, for a warning. We need to begin imparting these things to our children so that they know, number one, that God is real, that he's personal, and that he loves them and has a plan for their life. And as we begin sharing those things with them, all of a sudden they begin, begin to understand, I can be a part of this equation. And so as we see our young people stepping up and stepping out, going on to mission trips, both corporately and individually, that should warm your heart. It should warm my heart because it says what? That there is a faithful transmission of what God is doing in our lives and what he wants to do in theirs. So be those who are willing to be strong to pass it on. Moses passed it on to Joshua. An angel passed it on to Daniel. Haggai passed it on to Zerubbabel. Paul to Timothy. And here David to Solomon. You know, David is weakened at this point. It's amazing that he could even stand to deliver this address. He's going to pass off the scene very soon. But he is exhorting his son with all his might. Why? Because he knows that how much disability comes from fear and discouragement. The attacks of the evil one will always come against you when you choose to step into ministry. It's going to happen. And that's what we warn people about when they want to get into ministry. We tell them about the blessings, that's for sure, because that's true. You're going to be blessed if you serve the Lord, but you need to know there's a cost because it's a battle. It's a battle out there. And we need to know and understand that. That's why we need to keep the armor in place. The Lord will see you through, Solomon, to the completion of the task. Just ask Abraham. As Zacharias. In Luke 8, we read, now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake. And they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. And then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. You know, what they had lost sight of was what he had said to them before they ever began their journey. He says, let's go, what, to the middle of the lake and sink? No, he said, let's go to the other side. And that's what the Lord is saying to his children this morning. We're going to the other side. I promise that I'm going to complete you in the day of Jesus Christ. He's not going to take us out in the middle and let us sink. That's not the God that we serve. Our God is faithful. And that's what Solomon needed to understand and know. In verse 1 of chapter 29, furthermore, David the king said unto all the congregation, Solomon my son, whom alone God has chosen, is yet young and tender, and the work is great, for the palace is not for man, but for the Lord God. That's an important thing. The temple is not for man, but for the Lord. You know, this place is not for man. It's for him. It's for the God of heaven. When we come here, we come to worship him. We need to be focused upon him. He goes on there. Now I have prepared, verse 2, with all my might for the house of my God, the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and the wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of divers colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I prepared for the holy house. You have to love that. David could say, number one, I prepared with all my heart. I gave it all that I had to get it ready for you, Solomon. Was David perfect? No, he wasn't. We know that. But we know also that he desired God. His affection was set on God and his house. And so he gave. It wasn't just what he got from all the nations around him or all of his servants or all of the warriors that brought back the spoil and gave of that. He said, it isn't just what I was able to get from others. He said, it was also what I chose to give as well. Where are my affections? And somebody has said, and you've heard it, you put your money where your mouth is. Put your treasure where your heart is. You see, God is teaching us to be givers in every area of our lives because we're naturally keepers. You know what I'm talking about. We're naturally keepers. And so it's not that he needs our service or he needs our finances or he needs any of those things, but he knows that as we learn to be givers, as we learn to take on the nature of Jesus, the servant of all, that our hearts change, our minds change, our motivation changes. David led the way, you see. Even, he says, verse 4, 3,000 talents of silver, of gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord? Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams and of silver 10,000 talents and 18,000 brass 18,000 talents and 100,000 talents of iron. And they with whom precious stones were found gave them to the treasurer of the house of the Lord by the hand of Jehiel the Gershonite. Then the people rejoiced for that they offered willingly because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord. And David the king also rejoiced with great joy. Everybody was giving. Why? Because it started with the leader. It started with David. David was a giver. So all of those that were under his authority were givers, not by compulsion, but by example. The people then became givers. The people followed his example. It's the blessing of godly leadership, not just in a nation, but in a family. Dads, we have a responsibility. Moms, we have a responsibility to provide godly leadership for our families. It sets the example and allows our kids to see that it's not just what I say, but rather what I do. Because our kids are watching our lives. The joy of willingly giving. In 2 Corinthians, Paul writes, every man, speaking of giving, every man according as he purpose in his heart, let him so give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. You see, if we cannot give with a grateful heart, with a thankful heart, with a joyful heart, then we should keep what we have. God's not demanding us to give. God says, I want you to learn to be a giver, but it's your choice. And we see again and again his promises of blessing. But we see that progression here. God is ministering to David, the king. And the king then ministers to the leaders. And the leaders minister to the people. And all of them are in this mode of giving back to the Lord. And what does it produce? Joy. Joy. How much joy is lacking in our world today? Because our world is so focused on self. It's all about self. It's all about me, me, me. I. Mine, mine, mine. And the Lord says, no, that is a sure path to misery. The sure path to misery. We need to learn to say, Lord, it's all yours. Everything that I have, my health, my possessions, my relationship with you, it's all yours. It's all a gift from your hand, Lord. Help me to use it accordingly. In verse 10, wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And when you read David's prayers of the Psalms, I just marvel at how he was so gifted in communication. It's just amazing. David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. Wow. As you listen to David's heart being poured out, just the power of praise, he says, it's all yours, Lord. Even our willing hearts are from you. And this, in this section, this is the first time in the Bible that God is referred to as Father. David actually referred to him as Father, and that's not common in the Old Testament. But David had that kind of relationship with him, you see. He goes on, but who am I? And what is my people that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? This kind of echoes the prayer that David prayed when he was told by Nathan that he wasn't going to be able to build the temple, but that God was going to bless him and was going to bring Messiah forth from him. And it tells us that David went before the Lord, and the first thing he said to the Lord was, who am I? Who am I, Lord, that you would bless me in such a fashion? We, guys, we need to pray for that kind of a heart. Who am I, Lord, that you would deign to allow us to share the good news of Jesus Christ with anyone and see them come to faith? Who are we, Lord? We're just piles of dirt. as one guy said, anointed dirt, but dirt nevertheless. But that is such a heart, such a heart. For all these things come of thee, and of thine own hand have we given thee. Verse 15, for we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. We're just a passing through, David said. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord, our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee in house of thine holy name comes of thine hand and is all thine own. In other words, Lord, it's already yours. I mean, we're going through this motion of giving it to you, but it was already yours to begin with. You have to love that. This prayer is bound with one word, hope. Hope. The absolute expectation of coming good. Hope in God, not in man. You know, as we follow all the stuff that's going in the world around us, geopolitically and everywhere else, I mean, they're looking for hope, right? And they're going to find it, are they not? The Bible tells us they're going to find hope. They're going to find it in one person, that's going to promise to bring everything together. And we call him Antichrist. The stage is being set. The stage is being set. The world is on fire and there's seemingly no solution, but the evil one is going to bring a solution in one who will be able to speak lies which appear to be true, and the people are going to believe the lie. They're going to believe it. Guys, we're just passing through and we cannot stop time, but we can be conduits of God's blessing while we're here. Choose to do that today. Choose to walk out and bless someone, one of your children, one of your family, somebody on the street, somebody you don't know. Walk up to them and say, you know what? I don't know you at all, but I want you to know that I'm praying for you. I don't know you at all, but may God bless you as you honor him. Whatever it happens to be, people need words of hope. People need to hear words of hope. Verse 17, David says, I know also, my God, that thou triest the heart, mark it down, and hast pleasure in uprightness. God knows your heart this morning. Nothing is hidden in his sight. He knows your thoughts. He knows what you do behind the closed doors. He knows us better than we know ourselves. Nothing that we do will surprise him because he knows the beginning from the end. And that is an important thing to get a hold of. As for me, David would say, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. And now I have seen with joy thy people, which are present here to offer willingly unto thee. There is nothing more satisfying than to see those that you are ministering to begin to emulate things of Christ. It can be our children. It can be a mate. It can be a family member. It can be a coworker. There's nothing more rewarding than to see them begin to change and to become more like Jesus. Become more like Jesus. He says, we need to keep the vision alive. Keep the vision alive. O God of Abraham, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. Verse 18. Our fathers keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people. In other words, Lord, help our people to keep a hold of the vision, to keep a hold of the purpose for which they were created. You know, we've kind of slipped into this realm of entertainment in the church. We come into the church, and so often people come in with the attitude, well, I wonder what they have for me today. We come in, and rather than worship and declare the glory of God, we enter into a concert, which doesn't glorify God at all. Talks about perceived need and all these kinds of things. When we come to worship, we need to be focused upon him. We need to be singing to him and about him. And as we do that, we'll be changed and he will be blessed. David's prayer is, God, help my son stay on track. Help my son stay on track. He says, keep this forever in the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of thy people and prepare their heart unto thee and give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart, or a heart that's complete in you, Lord, a heart that's complete in you, to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, and to do all these things and to build the palace for which I have made provision. God wants your heart this morning. That's what he wants above all things. He wants your heart. Here's my heart, Lord. Do what you will. I'm yours. For our young people, they need to know that. They need to know that God wants their hearts. Why? Because they have no idea. They have no idea the pain that awaits when they give their heart to the world. The cost is high, very high, and it lasts for a lifetime. forgiveness? Absolutely. God is a forgiving God. But the consequences cling on for a very long time. We need to tell our kids that. We need to warn them. They have to make their choices. They know what the Word of God says. If you've been training them up in those things, they're going to make their choices. But if they choose wisely, they will experience the joy that we just read about here in the scripture. If they choose unwisely, they have nothing to look forward to but pain until they come to that place of crying out to the Lord. Verse 20, and David said to all the congregation, now bless the Lord your God. And all the congregation blessed the Lord God of their fathers and bowed down their heads and worshiped the Lord and the king. And they sacrificed sacrifices unto the Lord and offered burnt offerings unto the Lord on the morrow after that day, even 1,000 bullocks, 1,000 rams, and 1,000 lambs with their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all of Israel. And they did eat and drink before the Lord on that day with great gladness. And they made Solomon, the son of David, king the second time and anointed him unto the Lord to be the chief governor and Zadok to be the priest. So basically, they had a big burger thing. It was a barbecue. That's a lot of animals to sacrifice and prepare and cook. But that's exactly what it was. It was a peace offering, which was shared between the priest and the offerer and God. It was fellowship, sometimes called a fellowship offering. And it was a time of sweetness. The people followed David into worship. You see, David's heart of worship flowed to and then through the people. Guys, let worship flow through you. Worship is important. Become a worshiper. I've had people say, well, I can't carry a tune in the bucket. God doesn't care. He wants your heart. Sing with all that you have in your shower or wherever. You know, if you want to protect the people around you, then go into a soundproof room. I don't know, whatever you want to do. But the Lord is pleased. The people were blessed. And they had a huge meal with the Lord. Verse 23, then Solomon sat on the throne of the Lord as king instead of David, his father, and prospered, and all Israel obeyed him. You see, there it is. Solomon began well, and he was prospering. And all the princes and the mighty men and all the sons likewise of King David submitted themselves unto Solomon the king. And the Lord magnified Solomon exceedingly in the sight of all Israel and bestowed upon him such royal majesty as had not been on any king before him in Israel. Catch that? Even greater than David. The Lord blessed Solomon in such a fashion. He embraced his role as king, and the Lord blessed him and drew the people to him. That's what will happen. It says that when we please the Lord, when we walk him with him, he will cause even our enemies to be at peace with us. And perhaps you can bear witness to that. I can bear witness to that, that the Lord will do that work. He will cause even our enemies to be at peace with us, and he will draw those to us and bind us together according to his perfect will and plan. And as we close, verse 26, thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel. And the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. And Solomon, his son, reigned in his stead. Now the acts of David, the king, first and last, behold, they're written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer, with all his reign and his might, and the times that went over him and over Israel and over all the kingdoms of the countries. So David's reign comes to an end, and we see God's assessment of him there in verse 28, that he stepped into eternity blessed. He died a full man because he full on pursued God. Pursue God today. Choose that. Choose to pursue him with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. David's reign was blessed and glorious, but it was also difficult and challenging. Both come in the Christian journey. They do. So we just simply need to be faithful to him and know that nothing is going to come into our lives, but that he permits it. Everything that comes into our lives are either by his permission or by his cause. He will use those things to teach us, to train us, to purify us. Sometimes it's very hard, very hard. But other times it's glorious. When you're on the mountaintop for a moment, you know, with the Lord, just saying, praise the Lord. Those times are sweet. But like the disciples found out, there comes a time that you have to come off the mountain and get back in the battle. And that's true of our lives as well. Let's move on, but let's do so in a way that will please the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It's such a challenge to us, Lord. It touches us in so many different areas, Lord. Not only in those things which are blessings in our lives, Lord, but also in those things which we know we need to have worked on. And I pray, Father, that we would welcome both. That you would help us, Lord, to simply be faithful, to put one foot in front of the other, allowing you to guide and direct as only you can. I pray for each one here, Lord, today. For those who know you, Lord, have a personal relationship with you in Christ, Lord, that they would purpose, Father, to walk hand in hand with you in the days ahead. For those, Lord, who do not know you, who have never come to a relationship with Jesus, might they say an eternal yes to you, Lord. Might they ask for forgiveness of their sin, invite Jesus to come into their life, that they might be born again. We would rejoice in that, Father. But Lord, it's all up to you. Might your spirit work, even as he does so well. And I pray the Lord would bless you today, that he would fill you, that he would move you in such a fashion as to bring him glory and to bring you to that place of experiencing the fullness of joy. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.